Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So today, we're going to set a little bit of a cultural expectation trap for you. Just imagine New Year's Eve. Your default setting is probably noise, right?
Yeah.
You're thinking Times Square, fireworks over a city, huge parties.
Absolutely. A countdown, champagne, the works. And if you take that template and try to apply it to Japan, especially Tokyo.
Oh, you are in for a huge surprise.
One of the biggest and honestly most beautiful cultural misunderstandings you could have.
You really are. Because the reality of Japanese New Year, or Ashigatsu, is, well, it's the total opposite of chaos. It's not about partying.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's about stillness. Family, a kind of spiritual cleansing.
So our mission for this deep dive is to unpack that, to explore this amazing cultural contradiction and give you a guide on how to celebrate or at least understand New Year's like a local.
And that contradiction is really the key. It unlocks what feels like the true soul of Japan. I mean, think about the role reversal that trips everyone up.
Christmas.
Christmas, exactly. Mm. In the West, it's this huge, serious, family-focused holiday. In Japan.
It's basically Valentine's Day for couples, fancy dinners,
yeah.
Christmas cake, or my favorite, getting a bucket of KFC.
Right. It's fun, it's commercial, but then December 31st hits and all that just vanishes.
And New Year's becomes the solemn family holiday. Businesses close. The streets in Tokyo go weirdly quiet.
Eerily quiet. Because everyone's gone back to their hometowns, the entire nation just hits a collective reset button.
And that quietness, that pause, it gives you this rare glimpse into the country's core values that you just don't see any other time of year.
And that whole reset process, it doesn't start with a party. It starts with a very specific, very symbolic bowl of food.
Which brings us to our first ritual for Omisoka New Year's Eve, the Last Supper. We are talking, of course, about Toshikoshi Soba.
Day, year, crossing noodles. And this isn't just a nice meal. It's almost an obligation.
It's pretty simple, right? Just buckwheat noodles and a hot broth.
Super simple. Maybe some tempura on top, some green onions. But the whole point of the meal is spiritual, not really about the food itself.
So why soba then? Why not a big feast? Rice is the staple.
That's a great question. The symbolism is just so specific. The long, thin shape of the noodle, that's the obvious part. It's a wish for a long life.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it's also a wish for a thin and peaceful life, you know, one without a lot of drama or complications.
I like that. But it's more than just the shape. The act of eating them is where the real superstition comes in.
Exactly. Buckwheat noodles, they cut really easily when you bite them.
Right.
And that physical act symbolizes cutting away all the bad luck, the hardships, everything messy from the last year. You're literally breaking ties with your misfortune.
So it's a culinary cleanse, a final goodbye to all the failures of the year. But there's a catch, isn't there? A time limit. Oh, that time limit is absolutely critical. You must finish your entire bowl of soba before the clock strikes midnight.
And what happens if you don't? If you're still slurping away at 12.01?
It's considered really, really bad luck.
Why?
Because it means your old problems, your debts, your worries, all that negative stuff, it's still attached to you. It's followed you into the new year. You failed to cut the ties. So there's real pressure on everyone to finish their bowl.
You bet. You have to consume the past completely to make that clean break.
Okay, so once that last noodle is gone, the pressure shifts. It's not personal anymore. It's communal. The shouting stops and the listening begins.
And this, for me, is maybe the most profound part of the whole night. The ritual of listening to the bells, the joya no kane.
This is when Buddhist temples all across Japan start ringing their massive bronze bells.
They do, and the number of times they ring it is incredibly specific.
It's not random, it's exactly 108 times.
Exactly 108, and that number is just loaded with meaning. In Buddhist philosophy, it's believed that humans have 108 worldly desires or temptations. They're called bonu.
And these are the things that cause all our suffering, right?
That's the idea. And we're not just talking about simple things like greed. The bonu are way more nuanced than that.
So what kind of things are we talking about?
Well, it includes everything from anger and jealousy to arrogance, deceit, attachment to things, you name it. It's the whole spectrum of human failing.
So each ring of that bell is like a sonic purge. It's targeting one of those 108 desires.
That's the belief. They ring it 107 times before midnight to cleanse the past year. And then the final 108th ring often comes right at midnight.
Sealing the deal. Wiping the slate clean for the new year.
Precisely. It's a full spiritual reset.
I can just imagine what that feels like. Standing outside a temple, in the cold, listening to that. It's so different from a chaotic party.
It is. And the sound itself is. It's not a loud, sharp sound. These bells are huge. They weigh tons. It's this deep, slow boom that echoes.
You probably feel it more than you hear it.
You feel it in your chest,
Yeah.
and it forces you to be still, to just contemplate. It's the total opposite of a quick countdown.
And this happens everywhere, right? Not just at the famous temples.
Oh, yeah. I mean, places like Zojoji in Tokyo are famous for it, but even small neighborhood temples do it. The sound carries on the cold air. It's like the whole country is taking one big collective deep breath.
Okay, so after that deep, quiet, reflective night, January 1st arrives. The cleansing is done.
And the stillness breaks. A whole new energy takes over.
The crowds emerge. This is when we get to the biggest communal event of the new year, Hatsumod.
The first visit. Basically, the entire country streams out to a shrine or temple between January 1st and 3rd.
And if you're a traveler, you should not just expect crowds. You should embrace them.
Absolutely. If you go to a famous place like Meiji Jingu in Tokyo, it's not a line, it's a sea of people.
But the vibe is different now, right? It's not solemn anymore.
No, it's celebratory. It's joyful. The crowds are part of the fun. Everyone's dressed in their best clothes. You see a lot of people in beautiful kimono.
And they're all there for the same reason, to pray for good things in the new year, health, success, happiness.
Right. And you might have to wait for hours just to get to the front to throw your coin in the offering box.
But it's not just about asking for new luck. It's also about retiring your old protection.
Yes, the charm exchange. This is so unique.
We're talking about the omomori, the little protective charms.
The ones people carry all year, you'll see these big white boxes set up at the shrines, and people are just throwing their old charms from last year inside.
It looks like they're just tossing them out.
But it's a really important ritual. The belief is that the charms only work for 1 year. After that, their power fades.
And they might even have absorbed some bad energy protecting you.
Exactly. So you have to return them. You thank the charm for its service, that's a vital step, and give it back to the shrine to be purified and burned. Then you buy a fresh one for the new year.
It's like a spiritual accounting system. Tank the past, purge the old, get a new tool for the future.
You've purged your desires with the bell, your bad luck with the soba, and now you renew your protection with a new charm.
Which sets the stage perfectly for the next big pivot. From spiritual luck to, well, material luck.
Right. As soon as people are done at the shrines, they head straight for the department stores. The new year sales begin.
The material gamble. And the main event here is the fukubukuro.
The lucky bag. This is just a uniquely Japanese thing. It's part bargain hunting, part gambling, really.
Okay, break it down for us. What is it?
It's a sealed bag. You have no idea what's inside. It's full of random merchandise from a store, but it's sold at a massive discount.
And that's the gamble. Give us an example.
Okay, so you might pay, say, 10,000 yen, which is about $70, but the stuff inside could be worth 30,000 yen, high-end clothes, gadgets, whatever.
Bro.
Or you could get a bunch of stuff that nobody wanted in a size that doesn't fit you. You just don't know.
And people go crazy for this. We're talking huge lines, hours before the store is even open.
The excitement is incredible. People line up outside department stores, Starbucks, Apple stores. It's a huge deal. They often sell out in minutes.
It's such a perfect contrast to the quiet bell ringing from just a few hours before.
It is. And the fun sometimes continues after you buy it. There's this little subculture of people opening their bags right on the street.
The trash walk.
Yes. If you get something you hate, you just hold it up and try to trade with a stranger who also got something they hate from their bag. It's this social game of trying to improve your luck.
Wow. So it really is this blend of deep spiritual cleansing, followed by this intense, fun, material gamble.
It's the perfect summary, but now we have to shift gears and give a really serious warning for anyone thinking of traveling to Japan during this time.
Right. We need to talk about the big shutdown.
This is probably the number one thing that trips up travelers. The country basically closes down from January 1st to January 3rd.
So let's start with the biggest problem, food, the dining danger.
Be prepared. Most of the small family-run restaurants, the little cafes you love, even places like the Tsukiji Outer Market, they will be closed.
And you can't trust what you see online, really.
Don't even try. Google Maps will lie to you. The owners are home with their families. Your best bet for food is to stick to major chains, hotel restaurants, or food courts in big shopping malls.
And of course, the one true savior.
The konbini, the convenience store, thank goodness for them. They stay open 247 and will be your absolute lifeline.
Okay, what about money? Cash is still a big deal in Japan.
It is, but the banks are closed. The ATMs and 7-Elevens are usually fine, but smaller bank ATMs might be off or, even worse, run out of cash.
So the pro tip.
Get plenty of cash out before December 30th. Just to be safe, you do not want to be stuck without cash when everything is closed.
And finally, attractions like museums.
A lot of them close too. You have to check their official websites very, very carefully. The big exceptions are places like Tokyo Disney or Universal Studios Japan. They'll be open.
But they will be incredibly crowded.
Packed. Absolutely packed.
So, wrapping this all up, the Japanese New Year is just this fascinating mix. It starts with the solemn boom of a bell and ends with the thrill of ripping open a lucky bag.
It really is. It's when this incredibly busy country just collectively decides to hit pause and reset. It's a special time.
And if you're there, you'll want to know the key phrase.
You do. Just say with a smile. Akemashite omedetu gozaimasu.
Which means
Happy New Year.
perfect. So, for our final thought on this deep dive, really reflect on that choice. The choice to start a new year with silence. To actively purge 108 abstract desires before you even begin. Most cultures start with a bang, a chaotic release of energy. Japan starts by creating a vacuum of peace. What kind of foundation does that intentional stillness, that spiritual debt clearing, actually build for the year of hard work that's about to follow? It's a foundation built on silence.